the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to the Journey Into podcast. I am your guide, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Well, today you are in for a treat as we bring you Cyberpunk, issue number 1 by D.K. Thompson. I thought a lot about which original story to bring you first. I could have tried to run one of my own stories, but that seemed too opportunistic, and that is not why I started this podcast in the first place. So I took a cue from Steve Ely and decided to start this off with a story from a friend. But before I get into that, did you see that awesome episode art for this story? If not, you should really go take a look. The cover was drawn by the awesome artist, Bo Kier. You may know him from his work on the Drabblecast, where he serves as artistic director. He did an amazing job. He really helped me out in a pinch, and I was so excited when I saw what he had come up with for the art for this episode. Bo lives in Los Angeles and has worked as a web designer, developer, and product manager. He is currently self-employed. You can find out more about Bo at bokaier.com. That's BOKAIER.com. Go pay him to create something for you. He'll be glad you did. So anyway, back to the story. It was written by D.K. Thompson, or as many of us know him, Dave. Aside from being one heck of a nice guy, Dave Thompson is the co-editor of Podcastle, a weekly fantasy fiction magazine that you should all be listening to. His own fiction has been published by Apex, Drabblecast, Variant Frequencies, and the Triangulation series of anthologies. And let's not forget Pseudopod. Visit him online at krylyr.livejournal.com. That's krylyr.livejournal.com. So now, come with me on a journey of sacrifice and alternate realities. Exploding from the pages of the novel Super Spiff and the Toothpick Kid, here is Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk, issue number 1. Play by D.K. Thompson. He leans forward, his thin, pale face edging out my wife's, the syringe jabbed into her neck, making Lily's eyes go wide. I know the shape her lips would make if they weren't duct taped shut, how they'd tremble a little, then steady and purse, a mixture of fear and anger.
"You're not a patriot,"
the man tells me.
"You're just doing a job you don't completely understand. You punch in, you punch out. All you have to do is punch out."
I try to tell myself this isn't happening. Not really. It's all part of the game.
"You know what this is,"
the man continues.
"What it will do to her. Never go back. Don't finish the game. Think Monopoly. Only in this version you get paid if you don't pass go. Not money, of course, but the lives of your wife and son. Do you understand?"
I stare at him, memorizing his every feature. In the background, the baby's screaming. This is happening, I realize. It's real. "Yeah, I understand." I look at my wife, see it in her blue eyes, now glossing over. God, the detail of reality. "I love you so much, Lily," I tell her. "I'm sorry I got you into this mess."
"Good boy, Billy. glad you're ready to play ball.
I shake my head. No, I said I understand. He stares at me for a while, narrowing his eyes, forehead wrinkling. I say, I can't quit. Lily's eyes tear up. So do mine. And I don't think I can game the rules this time. The pale man's face relaxes for a moment. Then he shoots the virus into my wife's neck. I hope she knows how much I love her. I hope before she dies, she can forgive me. Punch in, punch out. That's my code of life. 24 hours earlier, I'm strapped to the table, IV in my arm, visor up on my forehead. Just another job. The guy who introduced himself as Dao Li's there, smiling down at me as he pumps medicine into the bag. His smile looks permanent and unnatural.
It's a highly advanced chemical substance, one that'll amplify your nervous system,
Li tells me.
Think of it like this. Your body's the PC, and that visor is the wireless router. But you need to upload the software before you can access it. That's what this is. We call it feedback.
People have to take drugs to play your game, I ask. That's gonna be a tough sell with the government.
Mr. Gibson,
Li says as my body starts to go numb and my head spins.
We are the government.
He lowers the visor over my eyes. After that, I'm as good as virtual. There's a bug in their game. That's what they said when they contracted me. That's what I do. Help people iron out the bugs. Typically, it's more console jockey type stuff than this kind of cowboy VR sprawl shtick, but I don't mind. The VR stuff's always an experience. So when I wake up in the game, I know the score, and I know what I'm supposed to do. Li briefed me on the game's plot. It's a psych test and a training program all rolled into one. Something the government's going to use to weed out potential new recruits in the armed services and train them. When I open my eyes inside the game, I'm in a desert. The sun's a sphere of light that hurts, literally pains my eyes to look at. I can feel the blistering heat making me sweat, and my clothes become damp with perspiration. I smell bad. I think about that for a while. What did Li put into my IV? Something seriously good. Figures. He says he's government, after all. I've got a small cylinder in the palm of my left hand. A failsafe, Li said the programmers fixed into the players in case things got bad inside. How bad can they get, I'd asked. Not really worried, but curious. He smiled, that patronizing government smile.
It's precautionary, of course. Press the button, and you'll be ejected from virtual.
I look around the desert. Don't see much and decide I should explore, so I pick a direction and walk that way for about 30 seconds before seeing the tortoise. It's on its back, legs kicking hard, body wiggling in its shell, trying to turn itself over, except it can't. I watch it for a moment, think about what the sun must be doing to the thing's unprotected belly, then remind myself it isn't real, just a program, part of a larger puzzle, and I know what I'm supposed to do next. So I stoop down beside it and reach out to turn it over. Except, I can't. Its legs are pumping too hard. It swivels its head toward me and snaps in my hand. I'm slippery with sweat, and every time I manage to touch the thing, it slides out of my fingers back onto its shell. Nudging it with my boot doesn't work either. After a minute of watching the poor thing kick and writhe in agony, frustrated, I realize what I'm doing wrong. I thought it was the gateway, but it's not. I stand and spin around, searching for whoever did this to the tortoise. There's a figure in the distance, standing on a sand dune. He's only a silhouette now, his coat flapping in the wind. Sure, of course he's a silhouette. I leave the tortoise behind and sprint toward him. By the time I hit the dune, I'm panting. The air tastes of sand and grit. I can't see the man anymore, so I climb the dune. When I hit the peak, the man's gone, and roaring over the expanse of me is the mother of all sandstorms, blotting out the cool blue of the sky. As it gets closer, I realize it's not made up of sand at all, but information, an encryption of code, words, and images. I look over my shoulder. There's nowhere to run. I run anyway, looking for some kind of programmed escape route. Nothing. The air around me is a vacuum, sand flying into my face. Then I'm flying backward, out of control, and feel pressure squeezing my skull, like it's a balloon someone's trying to pop. The sky pulses static. All of a sudden, I realize I need to puke. I hit hard and just sit there for a moment. Then I lean over in my chair and vomit all over the floor. Pizza. Wow. Weird coincidence. I'm in a dark room now. The surface I hit appears to be an interrogation table. It's dank and smells of mold and, of course, vomit. I blink or try to, then realize I can't. Something's digging into my eyelids, keeping them pried open. Everything's a blur and I can hear a faint buzzing sound, almost like feedback.
What are you doing here?
I try and look at the other end of the table, see a blur of a figure. Playing, I say.
This is a prototype. How did you access it? Who are you?
Are you the one I saw, I ask, before the sandstorm? He doesn't reply at first. Something chirps and edges forward on the table in front of me. There's a flash and I try to blink, but can't. My eyes water and blur more. I hear some clicking, like a keyboard.
Ah, information at last. Last name Gibson, first name Billy. Test gamer. Who put you in here? You do understand, Mr. Gibson, that this is a government-sponsored program? In a very real sense, you are trespassing and could in fact be held for treason.
All of a sudden, this feels very, very wrong. Wait. You put me in here. The government.
Did they identify a branch?
Feds, I say. Who are you?
Department of Defense. You understand you could be de-rezzed for this.
That almost makes me laugh, even with the things digging in my eyes. What? I say. That's fake computer-y's crap, man. We're gonna duel on light cycles next, or maybe play Ultimate Frisbee with blue neon discs? The clicking stops, but the buzzing gets louder.
They didn't tell you the rules before they plugged you in, did they?
Asks the man.
If Dao Li sent you, I'm sure he knows the rules.
What rules?
How dangerous this world is, how closely connected it is to our own. Some might even call it a lifeline. You like the Eagles, Mr. Gibson?
Sorry, I don't shop at Walmart.
You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave.
My eyes ache, I feel like they're on fire. What is this, I cry. Who are you? The buzzing fills my ears, drowning out every other noise. Then, they're on me. Tiny motorized insects crawling all over my body, my face. I open my mouth and feel some of them swarm inside, stinging. I gag, but somehow manage to hit the fail-safe button. I make out the blurry figure leaping across the table at me. Then there's another static pulse. The world seems to quiver, and Virtual spits me out. I shoot up from the bed, heaving, ripping the visor off my face. Dao Li's got a bucket in his hands, holds it out for me. I make a point to miss, splatter his pants and shoes.
Breathe,
he says.
Are you okay?
How long was I out?
You just went under, less than a minute ago.
My whole body's itching. I can still feel them on me. Then I look down at my arms. My skin's covered with tiny pinpricks, like those caused by stingers. What's going on? What in God's name is going on here?
You saw him, didn't you?
Asked Li.
What did he do?
He interrogated me, I said. Tortured me. Said he was government. Asked if I knew the rules. Li's face pales and he takes a step back. I grab him by his lab coat, yank him toward me. Tell me who he was. Tell me who you are. Tell me the rules. Li puts his hands on one of my wrists and squeezes. I shout out in pain, letting him go. He straightens a bit, then pulls a flashlight out and examines my eyes.
He calls himself Meme. And yes, for all intents and purposes, he is government. A rogue AI who isn't responding to his military programming.
He puts the flashlight away when I don't respond. Wheels a stool over to my bedside, sits down, and sighs.
Unfortunately, Billy, I lied about the medicine. It's an antidote that was developed after our last trial.
Your last trial? What happened?
All I can tell you is that you were contracted. I think you can assume some of the grisly details. The good news is that we'll take you into something like a witness protection program, except now you come to work for us.
What makes you think I'd want to work for you again?
Because you need daily doses of feedback, Billy, and we can make sure you get it.
He gestures at a metal tray on the counter lined with syringes.
In addition, you'll need to log on at least once every 24 hours. If you don't, your brain won't be able to fight the virus. I'm sorry for what must seem like a dirty trick, but your country needs you, Billy. Up until this point, there's been a distinct line between what is real and what is virtual. Now, as you can see,
he says, nodding at the bumps on my body,
memes threatening to blur the line, and it's no longer so well established.
I think of all the techno thrillers I've read, all the Cory Doctorow stories talking about how the singularity will be a virtual heaven. I think of the seedy cyberpunk underworld in books written by people like Richard Morgan and Elizabeth Baer. I like Doctorow's stories, but I've never been much of an optimist, especially not with someone calling themselves Meme. I take a deep breath and look back at my arms. The swelling seems to have stopped. Log on or die, huh? Lee nods.
You get to make up the rules.
I sigh. Punch in, punch out, I always say. Lee grins again, and I deck him right in the face, knocking him over. I jump out of the bed and pull at the IV. It hurts. The needle seems to stretch inside my arm, but I manage to get it out. On the floor, Lee groans. I kick him in the gut, then one more time for good measure. Put on my leather jacket and shades, grab all the feedback off the counter and shove it into my coat pockets, then stagger out of the room. The first thing I hear when I get home are the baby's cries. I find Nicholas in his crib, all by himself, completely soaked. I pick him up, but don't change him. Lily? I yell, bouncing Nicholas in my arms.
Shh, shh. It's okay. Shh.
No answer, only Nicholas's wails. Lily, where are you? I see the screen of the laptop open on the kitchen table. She never puts the laptop on the kitchen table. Heart racing, I put Nicholas down on a mat shaped like a sheep, hoping he'll stop screaming. He doesn't. I sit down at the kitchen table anyway and swipe my finger across the mouse pad. On the screen, I see a man holding Lily, a syringe in her neck.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gibson.
Says the man, looking directly into the screen.
Perfect timing.
He taps the syringe.
I was just preparing to introduce Lily to our mutual friend, Meme.
My eyeballs start to itch. Nicholas continues to cry. Lily doesn't make a sound. Lee's got a bandage covering his nose when he shows up at the security desk. He looks at me for a long time, looks at Nicholas in my arms. Then he says something to the guard. There's a loud buzz, and I'm ushered inside. He says he's gonna kill my wife, I tell Lee.
When did he give her the injection?
Right before I came back, 2 hours ago. I need you to help me save my wife's life.
It's not going to be easy. Whoever Meme's operative is, they can't be far. If we can get her feedback within the next 24 hours, then her chances improve quite a bit.
Improve? I ask.
Yes, this is mostly theory, you understand, but there aren't a lot of other options.
I could contact him.
I have to ask, why haven't you?
Because he quoted the Eagles, I want to say. Because rogue AIs are never on the side of the angels. Because you never negotiate with the bad guys. But those are all BS reasons. Tough guy machismo moments from an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. The real answer's something I have a hard time saying aloud. Guilt I'll probably never be free from. Log on or die, right? I say. I don't want to die. And I don't want to lose.
This isn't a game,
Lee tells me.
You only get one life.
I pick up the visor, stare at my own shimmering, twisted reflection. Come on, Lee. I thought you said I get to make up the rules.
Phew. That was quite a journey. I think it's a good time to rest for a bit. But don't worry, we'll be returning to Cyberpunk territory in future weeks. Next week, however, we will be traveling to a land of shadow. For now, pull out your field books and let's go over the cast of characters for this production. What's that? Oh yes, I know that the Dune Steve has a cast list. But this isn't a cast list. You see, they've got the Big Mac, I've got the Big Mick. They've got the Golden Arches, I've got the Golden Ark. They've got their cast list, and I've got my cast of characters. Okay? So, for our cast of characters, we have Dave Thompson as Billy Gibson, aka Cyberpunk. Yeah, I know some podcasts don't let the authors read their own stories. But if it works out, it works out. And in this case, I couldn't see it going any other way. Because to me, Dave is Cyberpunk. Enough said. Next up, we have Eric J. Blommel as Meme, Clay Duggar as Meme's operative, and I, lovable furry old Marshall, as Dao Li. If you are interested in where the character of Cyberpunk sprang from, you should really check out D.K. Thompson's own podcasted novel, of Super Spiff and the Toothpick Kid. I'll provide links in the show notes for where you can get those episodes. But I, along with D.K. Thompson, am glad to be a part of this summer of superhero origin story productions. There have been movies about Thor, Green Lantern, and the first class of X-Men. Soon Captain America will join the mix. And now we also have Cyberpunk. And never fear, true believers, we'll be hearing more about Cyberpunk in the coming weeks. We have to find out what happens to Lily. Gee, I hope she doesn't end up in a refrigerator. Well, we'll see you next week. Till then, journey on, Garth. Journey on, Wayne. The Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons attribution. No commercial, no derivatives license. You can spread it around, but don't change it to sell it. Theme music provided by Man in Space.